Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, friend, it's Nicole, host of the Nicole Walters Podcast. Here's where we laugh, we cry, and we grant ourselves grace as we do life together. Let's get started. Friends, I am so excited. You know that I don't do the chat thing very often, but holy cannoli, my friend Sarah is here. She is your friend too. We are going to sit down when I tell you this chat. If you know anything about Sarah, you know we are the same people. Mm-hmm. We have the babies. We have the bodies. Okay. And we'll talk more about that later. We all have bodies, but we have the bodies, right? The ones that people love to talk about, the ones that people have things to say about. We also have the families that are made up in all sort of mishmash ways and are still filled with so much love. And above all else, Sarah, just like me and just like you, is out here doing her very, very best to make a difference in this world, share what she has learned, and really pour back into you all the truth that you aren't able to find right away on the internet. She is an example of that. And this chat is easily my favorite one about starting over this entire season. Lean in, so, so good. Sarah, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I am beyond it. Like, we hadn't even hit record yet, and I feel like I just poured my guts out on the table, and we just sat and admired them a little bit. And
oh, you did the same.
And I'm just like, are we the same person in two different lives?
How much we have aligned.
We have a lot aligned.
So I'm excited about this chat because, and I just want to jump into it because if y'all don't know, we were already going at it. And I was like, okay, we just need to start because there's so much to talk about. Now, if you guys follow the Birds Papaya podcast and Instagram and all that, you already know, Sarah, you talk about everything. You put yourself out there.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do it on purpose.
You do. And it's, I mean, someone's got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you talk about your body, you talk about your family, you talk about your past and your marriage. Mm-hmm. And you also talk about your present and the hardship and, mm-hmm. you know, also the good, a lot of light and a lot of good. So let's just start off with how each of those areas is a place of starting over for you. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it's so fascinating. I think I, like so many people, started on social media in the realm of it was all perfect mm-hmm. and everything was so beautiful and so delightful and everyone was so pretty and their kids were so well-dressed. And their homes were immaculate and their foods were to be admired. And
that's right. Pancakes on the bed with balloons, curated pictures, sunlight, ring lights.
And I think somewhere along the way, I really got lost in the message that these were just like aspirational images. It was like a TV show. It wasn't necessarily real life. I really thought that that was what other people were doing and I wasn't having it. So through sort of like my journey on social media of really wanting to make it. So I started 14 years ago
mm-hmm.
when I had a toddler and a baby, and I named my blog The Birds Papaya after these two little girls and their nicknames. So it was Gemma Birdie and Maya Papaya. Mm-hmm. And that began this journey of me basically trying to fit in, trying to fit on social media, trying to find my way through this world that just seemed so happy and so perfect and mm-hmm. so amazing. And I loved it. I loved creating. I loved sharing my voice and all of that. But down the line, as things changed and Instagram came about, it no longer was about the perfect home and the perfect meal and the perfectly dressed kids. Mm-hmm. The camera's angled towards the person. And I was like 225 pounds. And I don't say that negatively. That's just a factual thing.
It's just the number that it was.
It's just what it was. And I had always grown up in a bigger body. I remember I'm in Canada and there wasn't clothing above a size 12 for anything of my style. I used to have to drive down to the States to get clothes to fit me. I was very used to like sort of that being like the funny girl, the funny friend. There's a artist called Maddie Zom and she has a song called The Funny Fat Friend. And I weep listening to it because that was sort of like my journey. But to kind of bring us back to the Instagram thing, I just decided, you know what? Like, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this whole thing. And I didn't recognize the differences in my own world in the sense that I was now three times postpartum. So I was kind of done having kids.
Wow. And can you tell us a little bit about your age at this time, too?
Yeah.
Because I think that that's still really relevant in the starting over. One of the things we share and we align, and I want everyone here to know, is we're not, you know, spring chickens. You know, we're seasoned chickens.
Yes.
But we're also not, you know, we have a lot of life ahead of us still.
A lot of life.
We squeeze in a lot really early.
Yeah. So I got married at 19.
I was married at 22.
Okay. Three babies by 25. And then the whole kind of crux of the Instagram body image thing started around 27, 28. Mm-hmm. And I, by the time I was 30, I had lost 100 pounds very publicly and with a lot of attention and with a lot of praise and so much around it towards how accomplished I was. I felt like I was finally getting into that party that I just wanted so, so badly to get into for all of those years.
And was your body also your business at this point too?
You can't separate those two things because I had only gained a following based off of losing weight. So it actually fed into what would become the disordered eating, what would become the body obsession. Mm-hmm. But also the reality that there was two things I was facing at once. One, the reason I was suddenly very controlling of my body and my weight was because my life was actually in shambles. And it was something that I could hold on. It's taken me a long time to like recognize that it was something I could control. I could control what I ate and how I moved in a world that was chaos. And
you were getting affirmation for it.
And so I'm getting a lot of praise. Yeah, a lot of praise, like a lot of validation from other people. But I'm also faced with the reality that I actually have more anxiety about my body. And I have more, like, I actually don't love the way I look. And I think that I really, really thought that because I saw so many before and after pictures and the girl was sad and then she was happy, I was almost like disappointed and sad that it wasn't there. And I was becoming more recluse in my life. I was going out less. The whole purpose of this was like, I just want to be able to like buy clothes and like go live my life and like
because
be
I'll
happy
suddenly
and all
have
these
freedom
things.
If I hit these check marks. And
yeah,
when I tell you, Sarah, I'm not even kidding. Same thing around money for me. It was, I grew up really poor.
Yes.
And I was a bigger girl too. I think I was 297 at my highest.
Yeah.
And I also lost 100 pounds, but it just as a byproduct. But money was the thing for me. Over that same time frame, got married at 22, had nothing, $24, you know, grew up sleeping on a couch, like all of that.
Yeah.
Over that same time frame, I had the kids, three, you know, and literally was like, oh, if I hit this money goal, then I'll be the happy after.
Yeah.
You know, and then what happens in life, which, you know, and y'all listening have heard me say this, it's amazing because, you know, I'm a God girl. So like one of the things that I believe in my belief system is that sometimes God, you know, will give you everything to show you that that is not everything.
Yeah.
And when you realize that, you're forced to move. So did you have a moment when you were like, okay, well, I think I have all the things that are the check marks. I have the house, the family, the kids, the quote unquote marriage, you know, I have the body, I have the fan, the following people, everyone's clapping for me, but when am I going to clap for my own damn self? What's going on here?
Yeah, I felt like I checked off every, like you said, like checked off every single box on what was supposed to make me happy. Mm-hmm. And the only things that I was feeling any sort of fulfillment in was like potentially motherhood, like just the fact that like I loved my kids so much. But even within that realm, I was like, I was just struggling so much. Like, who am I? What am I? I feel like I checked every single box off and I'm not happy. It was like, it was hard. And I think that there's, if I'm really going to be honest, I think that I also was very aware that the marriage wasn't working. I was aware that I was going to leave. I didn't know how to. I didn't have anything in my name. I didn't have a car, didn't have a job. I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. So I'm like, how am I even going to do this? A lot of fear in the way. But again, I could control my body.
Can I just ask, just because we have a lot of people here that are in various stages of starting over. So we have people, you know, my friends that are listening, some of them have already started over.
Yeah.
Some are thinking and knowing that they need to start over. And some of them are in the process of starting over right now. And, you know, both me and Sarah have lived that in many different ways. Mm-hmm. Body, parenting, families, kids, you name it. And I would love to ask you, and I'll share some of my own because, you know, it's a pretty vulnerable thing. But when it comes to starting over, how did you know in your marriage, after hitting all these marks, what were some of the things you were feeling that let you know you were unhappy?
I
were you crying in the market? Were you, what did it feel like? Because I want people to know, because some of them are sitting in it right now and they don't know. They're thinking, no, it's just one more pound. No, it's just one more dollar. Yeah. No, it's just one more kid. But it's like, no, I'm telling you right now, if you're crying in the market, you're in it and you got to get out. So it's the holiday season and we've got to pick up tons of gifts, but have you ever thought about getting a gift that's also going to be a gift for someone else besides who you're gifting it to? I know it sounds crazy, but you can buy from brands that support nonprofits and charitable organizations. So you get to support a brand that has amazing products and an amazing mission. My brand of choice? Thrive Cosmetics. Thrive Cosmetics makes high-performance beauty and skincare products made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. No parabens, sulfates, certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. It's everything. But Cause is in the name for a reason, because every purchase supports organizations that helps communities thrive. Personally, I have two products from Thrive that I am obsessed with. The first one is their mascara. And yes, it makes your lashes longer. Yes, it's their best-selling product. Yes, it's vegan. It doesn't smudge. None of those things. But here's what I love the most about it for mamas like me. It comes off so easily. I already have dark circles from these kids. The last thing I need are dark circles from my mascara running down my face or not coming off completely. And the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara from Thrive Cosmetics doesn't do any of that. And it comes off clean, just with water and a washcloth. Necessary, y'all. And then my other favorite product, again, perfect for mamas, is their Brilliant Eye Brightener. So it's a cream to powder highlighter that you basically just do a line under your eyes and it opens up your eyes and gives you an eye lift. Basically, it makes you look awake when you know you didn't have enough sleep. It's foolproof. The Cause is their bigger than beauty mission. Because for every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. And they have over 300 giving partners across the country supporting numerous causes. I want you to celebrate the season of giving and try Thrive Cosmetics today. Right now, you can get up to 45% off their best-selling products when you purchase select holiday sets by visiting thrivecosmetics.com/Nicole. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics.com/Nicole to start shopping for their holiday sets. Y'all, give the gift of giving and look good while you do it. Head over to thrivecosmetics.com/Nicole today.
What's the vibes? I'm EJ, head of special projects at DBA, and this is Who's on Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. We're chatting with social media platform leaders, marketers, journalists, and content creators contributing to the content shaping the global society we live in. I mean, folks, let's face it. Content is everywhere. It's visual. It's audible. Hell, it's even edible. Go with me for a second. The content of your favorite restaurant informs the content of your Yelp review. See what we did there? Tune in to hear Who's on Content.
There is a gut feeling that I think that when I say this and anybody listening who knows it, it's something so deep within you that you know is there and you just need to face it. So I knew that the weight loss wasn't making me happy. I knew that this marriage was not working. And it came to a point that there was one day, and sort of to my point earlier, like I think the reason that I was so driven to lose weight is I also understood that I would be somewhat quote unquote safer to exist in a smaller body outside the marriage than if I were in a larger one. Like that's like a really big thing for me to like unpack. Mm-hmm. It makes me emotional to think about, but I'm very aware of like what was driving me and the fact that I saw safety in a smaller body existing outside of a marriage if I was going to go out with no money and three kids and move in with mom and dad. But I think that I get asked this a lot. People will always say, like, how did you know? How did you know it was time?
I get that. I get that question more. How did you know it was time to have babies? How did you know it was time to have a marriage? How did you know it was time to launch your business?
How did you know that the marriage wasn't working? I have yet to meet somebody who's asked me that question who hasn't eventually done the thing.
If you're asking that question, that's probably sign number one.
Yeah. And it's hard. You have to let go of a lot of things. Like, I grew up in a very Christian community. Like, where does divorce fit into my faith?
Oh,
and where
yeah.
does I didn't know where to put a lot of it, but I was thankfully had somewhere to go, like my parents. But it did. I said the words, I'd like a divorce. And it was 3 years later that I stepped out the door.
Listen, y'all, I want you to know that when you're ready, you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that. Do not feel guilty if you say the words and it takes you 3 years, because that was when you were ready. And
yeah.
that is the right time.
Yeah.
Like, that's so important. People forget that. Like, so I separated,
mm-hmm.
but we weren't able to start the financial process until
yep.
a few months later. And even then, divorce can take years, especially if you have, like, you know, finances to really, like, work
through.
It can
take absolute years.
It can take years. And even in that process, just getting someone to sign a piece of paper during a divorce, if they don't want to sign it and they're not emotionally, because you're also not going to do that process at the same rate either. So just because you're ready doesn't mean your partner's ready. So there's so much.
Yeah, there's a lot. And you know what? I'm not going to read it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to talk from the heart about it. When you are in a path of change, you have been the one to wrestle with it and struggle with it and be that person going through it. And everyone else is just going to be, I call it like sort of being in a car crash. The divorce part or the separation is the actual wreck. But nobody was in the car with you all the way through that drive.
Yes.
And all they're doing is driving down the highway and rubbernecking at you and saying, who caused this?
Mm-hmm.
Whose accident was this? And who is at fault here?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, they keep driving down the highway and you get out of the car and you get into a new one and you make a new
dazed,
life.
And you're confused and you're a little scared about driving again. And
yes,
you're a little nervous.
There's a lot that goes
so
on.
Much.
But I think I got so caught up in what other people were going to say and think about me. And let me tell you,
girl,
they said the worst.
So the
but
things
I was
that
the happiest.
People say, oh, so let's just talk. And I have literally, I think, three episodes, y'all. If you didn't hear, I actually had an entire episode, a chat that we had about it called You're Too Good for Them.
Yeah.
And it's because not in the sort of, oh, I'm better than you and you can say what you want. But in that is the number one thing people say whenever there's a divorce, oh, you thought you were too good.
Mm.
Or you thought you, you know, were
yeah,
better than this situation.
Yeah, try losing 100 pounds and then leaving a marriage.
Right,
that's
absolutely.
All anybody's going to say.
Absolutely. I mean, people even, oh my gosh, Nicole, you lost so much weight. You got Hollywood. That sort
yeah.
of thing. Some of the weight I lost was sheer depression weight.
Yep.
I call it the divorce diet. I could not
yep.
eat. I was mm-hmm. so sick and
mm-hmm.
sad, you know? And people don't even know that when you say things like that, you have no idea the harm you could be causing
mm.
because you don't know if they left because there was abuse you're unaware of that they will never talk about because
yeah.
they have children.
Yeah.
Or you don't know if they left because there was a situation where there's addiction or
yes.
where there's, you have no idea what's going on. And it's dangerous to
Everyone
be that cavalier.
Everyone wants to know the why.
They
and
always want to know.
I've never said my why.
Same,
and that's,
same.
That has caused a lot of people to
speculate.
And not only that, like some of the things that came out were character rip downs, right? And mm-hmm. I actually just read a post by Jamila Jamil, and she said that women are so powerful now that we can't take away their opportunities. So I don't want to misquote her, but essentially she was saying we come for character.
Yes.
So when we can't take away anything else, we come for their character. And it's women who do it to each other. And I heard somebody say this once where marriage is a union of two humans. And I've repeated this for myself, like, humans are more valuable than unions. Like, they are two humans.
Ooh.
And until we acknowledge that a marriage is not more valuable than a person, we have to change the way, like, that we show up and we talk about divorce and we talk about people going through it. But what got me through that whole season was knowing somebody else. I remember another girl who had gotten divorced and everybody talked about it. They talked about what she wore, who she hung out with,
mm-hmm.
what was going on. We're seeing it right now with Gisele Bundchen. Like, everyone's
oh, yes.
like, she's got her jujitsu trainer. Like, the woman separated. She's actually allowed to do whatever she wants.
And she also has a bunch of babies. If y'all think any mama on this planet is worried about her jujitsu trainer during a divorce with her babies in mind, absolutely not.
It's just ridiculous. But of course, nobody's tracking what Tom's doing.
Not at all, because everybody's it couldn't have been Tom. It couldn't be Tom. Listen, this woman had a whole career and a whole business. She came out of Brazil.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a woman who came to America and built a life for herself based on her own back. You know, it's not. This isn't someone who grew up with some of the benefits of an American lifestyle.
Yes.
And yet people are forgetting that this is a woman who, again, just like most women, has had to start over many times. She is famous and successful in her own right.
In her own right. So, yeah, like this. But I remember when I had a friend who had gone through divorce and I was part of it. We all talked about her and everything. And I remembered that nobody had talked about her in quite a while. And I just thought, if I could just hold on,
it'll get better.
Everyone will eventually stop talking about it. This won't be this forever. So let everyone say what they're going to say. It doesn't make it my truth. It doesn't make it what happened. It doesn't make my steps wrong. And I sort of went into that like survivor mode of you just keep moving forward. And it's such a brilliant feeling when you go to this new place of like, okay, weight loss didn't make me happy. I wasn't quite there yet, but I remember sitting in my parents' house, not a dollar to my name, now living at their house with my three kids. And there was a sense of peace that came over me I didn't have nothing. Obviously, I had a lot, but I had nothing but on the check marks anymore.
Yes.
So, and then all of a sudden I was like, but this is so happy. Like,
it's
I wish
free.
I understood.
It's a freedom.
Yeah. So everything that we sort of equated to happiness was merely a projection of what other people. And you know what? Maybe other people have had experiences, and there are millions of them where people went down the checklist and they found so much joy. But you can't take that one person's experience and make it the experience.
Yes.
It is. And I've had to rewire the way that I talk about things when we say like the one or the right choice. It is a one. It's
absolutely. And for this right season, choice. I mean, and I think you're one of the things that I want to call out, there are two things that just stand out from what you said. The first one is that we have an association of starting over as being a negative.
Yes.
Sometimes the peace comes when you realize that starting over is the best thing that has ever happened to you.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've said, because with women, they don't realize that when you decide or when you're put in a position where you have to engage divorce, that you're already accepting you're going to have to leave everything behind.
Mm-hmm.
You have already said, odds are I could lose everything or I could have nothing. Am I okay with me and my babies? And if you're a person of faith for me, like God, like, can I do it with us?
Yeah.
And if you accept that, there is a peace from knowing that you've got nothing sometimes to start over. And that can be a very rewarding feeling. So for those of you guys who are afraid of starting over, know that there is joy in starting over as well.
There is. There was a lot of joy. And even like living, whenever I say like living at my parents' house and what a humbling experience that was, I also have to remind people like, that was actually some of the best days of my life.
Absolutely.
Like, we had so much fun. Like, I was working multiple jobs. What an opportunity. Like, it's just the angle in which you view it, right? And I remember my mom sort of said the same thing. She's like, I would sort of like come home a little bit later one day, and she's like, you have nobody to answer to except for your children and to God.
That's right.
And I was like, okay. And so she, even within like having to be 30 and moving back home and dating again and all this stuff, my mom was sort of there prompting and reminding me that in this restart, like, one, I owed them nothing. It was an honor for them to support me.
It's a blessing, yeah.
And
absolutely.
I think that was
and as mamas, knowing that we would do the same for our kids.
We would do the same for our kids.
It's true.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. And now I also like really working with, in Canada, we have an organization called Mamas for Mamas, and they do this. They kind of work within the community lines of like, we're really only one situation away from needing support.
Mm-hmm.
And if we always remember that there's somebody needing support and that we can get support and not having to pay for it with our dignity. Like, we are all so close to the line of like just needing to be the person that gets support. And then we can come back and be the person that gives it
for the next
one. So that's what I do now. Like, I needed support for such a season of my life. And now I just really love reminding people like, we don't get to watch women get out of these situations or get into their start overs if we're also not there to like back them up to
absolutely
do it. It's a collective thing.
Oh.
It's a community thing. And we have to remove the shame of the checklist and the proper order of things, even with careers, because
yes,
we grew up with parents that my dad's still working in the same job he got at 19.
And that was the pride was, oh, I have this
job. I've been in this job for 40 years.
They're going to bury me in this building. You know what I mean? And like that is, you know, and frankly, we can even talk about that language in general when people say, oh, I've been married for 40 years. Oh, I've been at this job for 40 years. Oh, I've, you know, had this home for 30 years. Oh, I have this. You know, we put so much weight around the stability of sameness when they don't realize how much strength is also in change.
Yes.
So, I mean, that is, you know, not to knock. I mean, there's something to be said for having a marriage for 40 years. That says a lot.
But like, it can't be the benchmark of success because I looked at my husband. We got married in our mid-30s. And I said, we're never going to get like the 50th anniversary. Like, chances are we're never going to get that.
I don't know. I believe in Botox. I believe in the miracles, you know.
Botox in the heart.
Botox in the heart. I hold and receive it for us, you know. Like, I just found love, you know, for the first time. And I'm 38. And I'm telling you right now, I'm holding true that we are going to get our 50-100 years. You know what I mean?
But I don't want it to be, I guess my point to him was like, we're probably never going to get like that big anniversary party and that big cake. But like, this is the greatest love.
You got, and also when I tell you, people don't understand, especially like love after divorce, which let's just transition into it, right? The starting over again.
Okay.
That understanding that I understand love on a level now that I don't care if it cost me everything that I have and everything I will ever make to feel what I feel for 5 minutes. I truly feel, and I say this, I wake up every day and I say this, if I were to die tomorrow, I've done all of it. Like, I truly have done it. I know there's more for me yet. I'm shocked at where it could go, but I've felt love. I get it. I understand songs now. I understand and engage in the world in a different way. Like, I believe and chase after different things, and it's worth it.
It is worth it. And it's very different. And I've also come into it with a very different, I caught flack for this the first time I said it, but I am in a marriage now where divorce is always an option.
Listen, so when people, can we just talk about that for a minute, Sarah,
girl?
People don't realize that when you have been through a divorce already, I'm in a marriage where, or not a marriage, I'm sorry, putting it out there, Lord, okay? My lips to your ears, Jesus, okay? But I'm in a relationship, right, where, you know, we choose each other every day.
You choose and it we, every
and,
day.
And we choose it every day. And that means that as long as they're there, that means that we want to be there. And
exactly.
And furthermore, if I only have this relationship for 10 years, that means that the next love is going to be even greater. And if that's possible, I hope I get 10 years with that person. I am open to as many loves and lessons as God wants to send my way. I pray that this is the big one and I'll have it forever. But if this one goes out the door, the next one's going to be better. And if that's the case, then I receive it. Whatever God wants for me, I want for me, you know?
Absolutely. I'm 100% in alignment because there's something to be said about being in a marriage where you felt like if divorce isn't an option and we have to work this out, then suddenly you're like, you're so trapped in something that is just getting more and more toxic for each other.
Yes.
And so removing yourself from that, and my husband was also divorced previously as well. And now we've had a lot of conversations. I feel when you know divorce is always an option and you wake up every day and you choose marriage,
yes,
you behave differently.
You behave differently.
You love differently.
There's a humility in the way that you are. I mean, I can tell you that I've been in this relationship now for a year. The growth that I've experienced in how I have had to, I am better. I'm saying it out loud. I almost paused, but I'm going to say it out loud. I am better to this man than I was to my husband.
Yes.
And it's not that I wasn't good to my husband. It's not that I wasn't a great wife to my husband. It's that I am better to this man simply because not only do I want to make sure I keep him, but I also want to make sure I don't lose myself. And that has changed everything in how I interact. I am like, we had a fight just two days ago. Like,
but isn't it lovely to fight with somebody that fights to be there?
Oh, fights to be there. Because one of the first things we said, what our fights look like is, we're not going to break up over this, but I need to tell you something that I need.
Yeah.
Like, I've never argued that way with a partner because the intention is, the problem is in the room. You know, we're talking about the problem. We're not going at each other.
Yes.
And that is healing. It teaches me how to interact. It shows my babies what it's supposed to be like, which means hopefully they won't repeat what I've repeated, you know? And it's just, it's an amazing thing. Like, it's growing me so much. And I've seen this in you, and the way that you talk about your partner is that, like, there is a, you know, when people talk about authenticity on the internet, you know, real recognizes real.
Yeah.
I have been in the marriage before and I've looked at your thing. When I was in my previous marriage, I was like, that can't be real. That can't be real because I didn't have it. I was like, there's no way. Well, now that I have what I have, I'm like, I see the little signs.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And it's so fascinating how much, like, to tie it back into the body conversation, mm-hmm. I have to read my favorite. It's pinned at the top of my account mm-hmm. for a reason, but it says, I'm 50 pounds heavier than when we met. And I think about that sometimes when the doubt creeps in, when I feel unlovable for simply changing. And then I remember the journey we've been on. I remember that this change is actually a beautiful one. It's the first dates, the second dates, the thousands of them more, the travel, the taste of it, the laughing till we're sore. It's cocktails on Friday, curling up on a Sunday, sickness, overworking, joy and healing. It's having a baby together woven inside my body. It's 50 pounds of what's made our family. So when I think about it and the doubt creeps in, I ask myself, what would you rather, have this life or be thin? And I smile at him and I look at our life. It's not even a question. I would do it all over again. That's the kind of, when we talk about healing and we talk about starting over and we talk about it, you start over, but with everything you've brought.
Yes.
From every lesson you've ever learned, from every hardship, from every discomfort, from every little bit of what you've gone through, you start over smarter, wiser, better, and with a whole perspective of none of this is guaranteed.
Yes.
And every day I choose to be here and every day. And now I don't love the way I look in my body every day, but gosh, I show up and my marriage isn't perfect, but gosh, I'm here. Yes. And I choose it. And when I talk about him, there's something that like happens inside of me. I have this like, it's almost the same way I feel about my children. Like I love him in a way that like, I don't want anything to ever hurt him.
Yes.
I love him
yes.
so differently than what he does for me. Like I love mm-hmm. him so much. And I love that nothing ever made sense. And I think that it took being alone and figuring out what I wanted, but to find somebody to meet me for who I am mm-hmm. and being able to show them that. And that was chaotic at first. That first year.
Oh, girl. That's the other part, too, that people don't realize. When someone meets you in the valley, sometimes you're like, I don't know if I'll ever see the mountaintop again because I'm a mess. You know what I mean?
I was messy. I was jealous.
Oh, absolutely.
I was scared.
Because it's all the triggers. You know, even being loved well can be a trigger. People don't realize, like, when he loves me well, I'm
questioning. When's the other shoe going to drop?
When's the other shoe? Just the other day, like, we had our first, like I said, our real fight, like, about something. And I was like, oh, my word. Like, this might be it, you know? And it's like, no, like, it's not it. It's that we're talking about it in a healthy way and we're practicing the skill set of having good conversation around issues.
Yes.
Like, and the way we resolved it let me know, oh, if we can do this, we can do the next one. We can always keep coming back together by choice, you know?
Yeah,
but the
choice.
Healing, you know? And even now, like, you know, you guys had a child together. I'm hoping to have more children as well. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, you know, talk about new triggers. You know what I mean? New things, because you had children in a previous relationship. Now you're with a different partner and you have to learn how to parent with a different partner.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but one of the pains that I struggle with right now is that I am in a partnership that shows me how much I lacked before. Mm. And I'm trying not to beat myself up or even mourn or grieve what I didn't give myself in my previous relationship.
Yeah.
You know? So seeing you know, you've got the cutest little,
I know,
with a
little
big old personality. Her personality is unreal.
I
like
know.
Sweetest,
She's special.
Vibrant little baby. And raising her with a partnership where you're wholer, you know, mm-hmm. you're more put together and you have a partner who's present. Like, mm-hmm. and what is that like in terms of, do you just try not to think about it how it was or be present or what do you do?
So I found myself in the happiest place of my life when it came to everything that was going on. I was in a good place with my body. Mm-hmm. We had a great marriage. Mm-hmm. And now we're pregnant with this baby and I fell into the worst depression. I've never been depressed before. And that was the first time.
Sure.
So I was pregnant when I found depression. And what I revealed in the therapy that I had to go through, mm-hmm. There's like postnatal depression. I had prenatal depression. Mm-hmm. So I went to like a perinatal therapist.
Wonderful.
And we walked through the fact that I was also placing a lot of fear in my new experiences, repeating old ones. A lot of them being, I was a stay-at-home mom who was like, dinner was on the table at 5 o'clock.
Same.
Now I'm like a career person. I'm like, am I going to have to give this all up? Is it all going to, is everything bad going to happen again? Like, is this going to be the end of my
the
marriage?
Other shoe to drop. Like, I've just learned one way to do this right.
Yes.
Now I have to shake this up with things that I know caused additional conflict before.
Yes.
Am I going to lose this beautiful thing that I haven't had?
Or just losing myself in it. I didn't. So I remember having so many conversations with Shane about it. And he just would ask me time and time again, like, just don't place old experiences on our new ones.
Ooh.
And I was, and that was a lot for me because I'm a girl who didn't even want to watch a movie with him if he went and saw it at a movie theater with a different
Listen,
girl.
I
was like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see this movie. If you've seen it and you've held hands with another woman, I don't want it. And he goes, you know who misses out on an opportunity when that happens? You do. Mm. I don't. You do.
What is it like having a partner that you love and have to listen to because you know they're saying it out of love? Do you know how annoying that is?
I know.
I know you love me and this is why you're telling me, but stop trying. Stop it. I don't want to hear this right now.
He's so emotionally like ahead of the curve of me. But yes. You know what's so funny? This actually yesterday, I found a screenshot of an argument. I don't know why I screenshot it. Probably because I was catty and sending it to my girlfriend.
Evidence. I'm going
to
keep this forever. We can talk about this.
But I found an argument that him and I had. We weren't living together. We were just dating. And he had gone out after a volleyball game and hadn't texted me to tell me that he was doing that. And I was very upset about it. And I read these things and I was almost embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. I was like, who is this person?
Sure.
And then I also was like, but instead of like staying in that shame cycle for a second, I was like, but look at you now. Like I would be like, did you go out afterwards? I hope you had the best time.
Because shame doesn't serve you.
Doesn't serve.
And we have to extend ourselves grace, right? Like the person who was in that moment was still learning how to be secure in the relationship.
Yes.
Still learning how to be secure in self and being loved well. So it's like, you know, looking back at that past and saying to yourself, hey, this may be different. I may be repeating stuff, but it's only because I'm relearning and
relearning.
I know better.
And he was so patient with me, but he also wasn't like so patient where he just like let everything go.
That's
he was
right.
like, you're making me feel this. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like I'm not being trusted. This is why I mean, and it was so funny, like reading back on these, I'm like, oh gosh, this man.
Yeah, but he's also
really
handling
held
me
it
so
together.
Well. Yes, you were
he
handling
really held
me
it together.
So well.
This
I am
like
a
the,
mess.
This is an irrational human wild beast. And you have just like done your best with it.
But it's
so fascinating because we have such a calm natured relationship now and we rarely fight. And when we do, we always come back to this core of like, thank God we fight for this though.
Yes,
like, thank God we stay.
It's worth it.
We stick in it for each other because we just care so deeply.
Yes.
But it's a really beautiful thing. And I think that something is really important about the whole like start over and everything is like when you start to talk about it though and you talk about it with your peers, a lot of times what people will say to you is marriage is hard. Mm-hmm. And I want to remind everybody is when we say that, it's like saying, it's like working at Wendy's and working in a corporate job and saying jobs are hard. Mm-hmm. Your jobs are hard for very different reasons.
Let's not oversimplify.
Just blanket statement things about marriage because it's, again, two humans in a union. Everything about that situation is very different than anything you've ever had. And every single time I tried to talk to people and I tried to voice that like things weren't good, everyone just said to me, well, you know, marriage is hard.
Marriage is hard. They'll say
marriage
that.
Marriage is hard.
They're like, what did you expect? And I'm like, you know, if someone's telling you that they're being physically abused, like that's hard.
That's,
if someone's telling you that they're being emotionally abused, that's hard. Understand that like, I'm not minimizing either one. It's abuse.
No, it is.
So how are we going to sit here and just oversimplify it to say it's hard? And one of the things that a friend said to me that changed my life, it shouldn't be that hard.
It shouldn't be that hard. Or when you talk about marriage is hard, what are you saying? Because when I say marriage is hard now, I'm talking about the trash. Who's taking out the trash
that's
this week?
Right.
And that's the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced in my life is that all we're fighting about is that we're not fighting about our character. We're not fighting about big, bad, ugly things. Mm-hmm. Marriage isn't hard for anything more than like these, that cohabiting with another, again,
that's
two humans in a union,
that's
there's going to be difficulty. But when you start to like flex the muscle of like, I need to start talking about my unhappiness here. I need to start talking about what's next for me. You're going to be met with resistance.
Yes.
Because you have also made them uncomfortable.
Of course.
And when you make other people uncomfortable, they want to pacify that feeling for themselves as well. There were a lot of people that had to deal with the reality of my divorce as well.
Oh, and my goodness. I mean, I'm getting divorced publicly, you know, and in that context, I mean, I literally received messages of grief for my marriage, you know, and I appreciate people being able to see me in the moment and say, I'm really sorry that you were going through this or are going through this.
Yeah.
But it's another thing when people, you know, I had some messages that, you know, are borderline inappropriate where it's kind of like, I can't imagine not seeing you guys together.
Yeah.
Or I'm so sad to hear about this. I'm almost in tears.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I can appreciate and understand. It's not, you know, again, with divorce, you don't always tell anyone congratulations because you don't know what the context
is,
you
true.
Know, but just
although
like
that was the
loss,
favorite thing that I received
that
when somebody said congratulations. I was like, oh, thank you. Absolutely, somebody finally recognized the work.
For sure. I mean, I will tell you, people who know me and know more about the relationship are like,
congratulations.
I'm proud of you. You know
but
what I mean?
You're right. You wouldn't say.
You just wouldn't say it. Just like with your body. You don't say congratulations because maybe I'm sick or maybe you don't know what's going on. But it's one of those things that I think if any of us are talking to someone who's going through divorce or experiencing ourselves or are wondering sort of what will people think and what will people say? The answer is they will say something. Mm-hmm. It will run the full gamut. You will overwhelmingly likely be more supported. You'll find support in the right places, you know, like, and I have a whole chat that we had about it where I was like, all you need is one good friend, one good therapist, and a little bit of faith, you know, and if you have all those things, you'll make it through because the only way through it is through it.
Yeah.
And on the other side absolutely resides better. And during the process, you can have joy.
You can have and, so much joy.
Oh, and that is the recipe of starting over. And Sarah, like, you are always so candid. Mm. You're always so honest and so vulnerable. I'm sure you hear that all the time. Like, you've been in the internet space.
I don't have any other choice anymore. When you've worked this hard to start over, I gotta cut the shit.
Absolutely. I'm like, take it as it is. This is all of me. You gonna get it.
Yeah.
And part of it also is just, you know, it's amazing because people think that the internet is about these curated images mm-hmm. all the time, but they don't recognize that the only way to really enjoy your life is to be candid and a little messy mm-hmm. about it and show people what you've got, because then you can actually enjoy it. There's no more, there isn't a, let me say this over again, Josh. There isn't a happier state of being than truth.
That's true.
And when you are in a marriage that is rooted in truth, even if it's the messy truth, when you're in a body that's rooted mm-hmm. in truth, even if it's a messy truth, if you're in a parenting that's rooted in truth, even if it's a messy truth, there is joy.
Yes.
No matter what.
Yes.
Sarah, tell us where we can eat up more of this lesson, join the journey with you. You're such a beautiful, beautiful writer, mm-hmm. Where we can read more of the inspiration we need and print it out and put it on Post-its. Where can we find you? How can we keep supporting and loving you?
So the Birds Papaya on Instagram is mostly my wheelhouse. And then I have the Papaya Podcast as well, mm-hmm. where I'm gonna grill you on some very, I don't know where we're going, but we're going to go there. Yeah. So you can find me those places. I live everything out in kind of real time. My mm-hmm. stories is where most people are. So yeah, like come find me. I love meeting new people. I spend half of every working day in my DMs and comments.
Same.
Like community is everything to me. Mm-hmm. So any new community members are just like just the best. And I'm
so
always so anybody who's willing to come along on an imperfect journey of going through change and coming out the other side is very, very welcome.
Oh, y'all, if you love me, if we're a thing, I'm telling you, Sarah's our people. Go follow her. Stay in touch with her. We will all be better for it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Another great chat. Oh, I love spending time together. Now, I need you to subscribe, rate, and leave a review because I love hearing from you. And then come hang out with me on Instagram at Nicole Walters. I'll be back here next week, and I hope you are too. See you there, friend.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.